Welcome to Break the Bias, a podcast series hosted by So Perth. We tapped into this year's International Women's Day theme and we're taking the opportunity to speak to some amazing Perth women. I'm Karma Levine and this is Jessica Cook, and today we're speaking to Dr. Catherine Giles. Catherine has had quite an impressive journey from investment manager at Brandon Capital Partners to director and CEO of OncoRes Medical. She's also a director of Respiration Pharmaceuticals and a member of the Curtin Commercialization Advisory Board, in addition to practicing as a medical doctor within the surgery field. Hi, Catherine. Welcome.
Hi. Lovely to be with you today.
Thanks for joining us. Why don't you start by telling us a bit about yourself and your journey so far?
Great. I started my career as a medical doctor. I worked in Perth at Charlie's for a year and a half, and then realised that whilst I loved so many aspects of medicine, that it wasn't going to be the career choice that I wanted to pursue for the rest of my career. So followed my husband into the MBA, and not really knowing where I was going to go, because before going into the MBA, I investigated a whole bunch of things, spoke to companies that took on graduates, and was told, well, we take on graduates from law, business, you know, engineering, arts, and listed every other degree, but not medicine. So you're a doctor. Why don't you just go do that? So at the time, sort of back in the early 2000s, there was very little, there were very little opportunity for doctors to go and do other things, or there were very few role models of people who'd taken a medical career and gone and done something other than clinical medicine with it. So after a lot of investigation, I decided I needed some more letters after my name for anyone to consider me for any role other than being a doctor. And so my husband had done the MBA and changed his career, and so I followed him into that, not knowing where it was going to take me. And probably a year and a half into the MBA, I have a huge love of science, and I really started missing that whole aspect of medicine and science. And I was really lucky because they still ran the venture capital unit at that point. And I did the unit, and it was a perfect combination for a complete science nerd with a bit of understanding of business to be able to really make an impact, which is what I'd always wanted to do. When I went into medicine, I went into it as a naive 16-year-old wanting to help people. And that was a way that I could see with someone with a love of science could really make an impact on the lives of others. Finding venture was fantastic. And then I worked at a startup company for a year in WA, and then for Rob Newman and Matt Callahan at Stone Ridge Ventures. And they were a generalist venture capital fund that was set up in WA. And I worked for them for 4 years. And then had my first daughter, and then moved to Brandon Capital Partners, which is Australia's largest life sciences fund. They're based in Victoria, and Western Australia was the first sort of satellite office of the two main offices in Victoria and New South Wales. And yeah, have been associated with Brandon ever since.
Fabulous. So is the MBA kind of that key as to how all the pieces fell together for you?
It probably was for me, and particularly getting to do the venture unit, because until I'd done the venture unit, I still felt really quite lost. But when I did the venture unit and realised that this was a thing and that it was possible to get a role in that in WA, that really did change everything.
Isn't it interesting that a lot of people who study law do that to, you know, work in careers other than practice law? And then it sort of what would be considered an equivalent with medicine, and there's nothing else that people can do with a doctor or doctorate. Yeah. That seems really bizarre.
It does, and I think at the time I was a real novelty to the MBA school, but now I know so many other doctors who followed the same path, and maybe it's now because I've gone through that journey that I'm also aware of doctors now who are older than me and moved into venture capital and did other things and mostly went to the US because there weren't any opportunities in WA. So it's definitely become more of a thing now, and also now that medicine is often a graduate degree as opposed to an undergraduate degree, people come in with a different something else to add. So I think that there are far more opportunities and people are far more open to doctors not being doctors now.
So in regards to OncoRes Medical, can you tell us about what you do and where the inspiration for that came from?
Yeah. So alongside going into the MBA, I wanted to stay being in clinical practice. So I've done surgical assisting since 2003, which is sort of being like a tradies assistant for a surgeon. So I get to go in there and help and, you know, make sure that they can see what they're doing, and I get to stitch up at the end. So it's still keeping my hands in, but it also gives me huge opportunity to, you know, interact with surgeons, understand how theatre works. And then I came back from maternity leave from my second daughter and was first introduced to the technology that's behind OnCareers Medical. And I could just see how impactful this could be the first time I sat down with Sam South from UWA, because it was exactly what surgeons were looking for, which was more information under their control to enable them to make better decisions and improve patient outcomes. So what OnCareers is doing is, well, maybe I should go back to what surgeons do now. So currently, for most solid cancers, and there are around 17 million solid cancers diagnosed every year, the foundation of a cure is to be able to completely remove that cancer through surgery. And then you have radiotherapy and chemotherapy with it, but this, you know, commonly this is the first step, and if it's not the first step, it's a very important step in the journey. Surgeons are still heavily relying on their sense of sight and touch to determine that they've removed all of the tumour. And considering they're looking for less than a millimetre of tumour through at least one set of surgical gloves, it's really not surprising that cancer is missed a lot. And so we're looking at breast cancer first, where 30% of Australian women will not have all the cancer picked up in the first operation because all the surgeon has to go on is their sense of touch. And this sends these women back for further surgery. Further surgeries are worse for outcomes for the women. They delay their subsequent treatments. They're more likely to get complications from the surgery. They're likely to, you know, they lose confidence in their whole cancer treatment. So they're likely to choose a mastectomy at that point. And it also creates, you know, a lot of anxiety for patients and families and a huge amount of cost for the healthcare system. So up to $700 million is spent every year in the US, just in breast cancer, on these avoidable surgeries where it hasn't all been gotten out the first time. So the reason that surgeons rely on their sense of touch is because we know cancer is stiffer than healthy tissue, and it's stiffer from the individual cell level all the way up to the, you know, whole lump, which is why we are told to feel our breasts to detect as a mechanism of early detection of cancer. So what OnCareers does is we've combined two technologies, and effectively we give the surgeons superpowers of touch. So we're giving them a probe that they'll use inside the surgical cavity, similar to how they use their finger, and then they'll see images on a screen of a microscale map of tissue stiffness and detect residual cancer and then be able to remove all of it the first time.
So it's during surgery. Yeah. Oh, okay. Because it seemed like the impression I got from your website was that you could scan like beforehand, but it's live.
It's live.
In the room.
During surgery.
Oh, how fantastic.
Yeah, because currently they only figure out they've missed cancer a week later when the pathologist looks at the tissue under the microscope.
Yeah. Oh, how? Because we were thinking it was scanned. Yeah. But it's actually as they're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How amazing.
Yeah.
And so why is this work so important?
Well, I mean, for me, first, it's for the patients. There are so many ways that we can improve patient care, and I can see OnCareers, I can see that if we do our job right and we do what we are looking to do, that we'll be able to have a significant impact on patients and their families. I think that it's not only important in breast cancer, but tissue stiffness is across solid cancers. So after breast cancer, we hope to expand into other cancers as well. Mm. I think it's also really important for WA, because too often we have a great history of awesome medical innovation in WA, but a really bad history at letting it slip out of our fingers way too early. And so with OnCareers, I was really determined that we were going to grow in WA because also that we weren't going to, like usually these medical things do, fly under the radar. And then no one knows about it till it's been a success, you know, 10 years later. And then it's a 2-day news cycle and we're done. So I wanted people to be able to follow the journey. Also, I wanted Western Australian investors to be able to make good returns on a West Australian technology, because that will then encourage more people to invest in the sector. And also it improves our brand that we're more than just digging stuff out of the ground.
Brand WA.
Yeah.
Love that.
So you just do you just do breast cancer at the moment? Is that, and I'm sure it's currently used in our hospitals?
So we've currently got trials at Fiona Stanley. So okay. We've had a number of significant trials. So one that we've shown that the technology is 96% accurate at detecting cancer. That was run by Christabel Saunders, who's our chief medical officer and one of the founders of the technology down at Fiona Stanley. We've then done, that was on the benchtop, because first we had to show that this brand new imaging technology could see cancer. So that was a big tick. And then the next move was on to, can we put that technology inside a handheld probe, stick it in a woman and produce an image? You know, I don't know that that's going to be possible. So we did all that and scanned 21 patients and said, tick, we can produce QME images inside the surgical cavity. So our next stage is that we then had, that was all done, led by Professor Brendan Kennedy, who is the engineer behind this, down at Perkins Institute. And then it came time to actually stick this in a company and run it in terms of the company leading the development and run it under all the quality management systems and things that have to happen in a medical device company. So we've re-engineered the probe and it's about to go back into clinical trials again at Fiona Stanley. So we're making sure that this technology not only originated here, but as much as possible we're developing it here. Obviously we have to expand outside WA once we've done all the initial work. So we're probably 3 years away from it being able to be used in practice for Australian women, and then 5 years away from the US.
Right, yeah, so it's just still in development phase, but yeah. From what it sounds like, it's going great.
Going well so far. Yeah, still many hurdles to jump, but going well so far.
Oh, that's great. And so going back to the beginning, you mentioned that you wanted to kind of get into medicine to help people.
Yeah.
What made you decide to then pursue your career as in surgery and then, you know, move on to what you're doing now?
Well, I think I always loved the surgery side of medicine. I love sewing, so it was a great opportunity to do
what
that.
What do you do? I sew people.
I sew people and I sew material. Yep.
I'm going to be a surgeon.
Yeah.
Love that.
Such a great answer. Yeah.
I think, and I had thought about doing other things before medicine, and then I had a cousin who moved to Australia when I was about 15, and she said, no, don't be a physio or whatever, you need to be a doctor. So off you, and I had a dad in science, and he said, don't be a scientist, because he said, it's much easier to make an impact as a doctor. So that was the reason.
Fair bit of science in there.
Yeah, fair bit of science in there. But he said, yeah, if you want, he tried to make an impact. He tried to discover cancer drugs in his career. And he said, being a doctor, like he said, you know, I've spent my whole career trying to do that. But actually getting it from my bench to a patient is very difficult. You're far more likely to be able to achieve that being a doctor.
Yeah. So it's all about kind of making an impact.
For yeah, you. Like that's what it's always been about, making an impact.
Yeah, and so obviously you went from investor in your kind of role to entrepreneur with this Oncorev Medical. What made you decide to take that step?
That was more thrust upon me than a decision. So it certainly was never in my career plan. And at the time I had a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, so it was terrible timing as well. There was a decision that was made in 2017, and it was originally that I'd just step into the role for a small amount of time. But I think I couldn't step into the role and not really engage with what I needed to do. And part of that is creating a brand for the company. And so then I think I sort of ended up staying longer and longer and longer, and now it's been almost 5 years. So, Yeah. But I think I think part of the reason I made that move, despite it being difficult at the time, is I have had a true belief even back then that this technology had all the hallmarks of just changing the way we do surgery. So I really wanted to make sure it reaches its potential.
And so our series is all about sparking conversations around gender equality and breaking the bias. What does break the bias mean to you, and who are the women that have inspired you over your career?
So I think in terms of the women who'd inspired me, I personally have been really fortunate that since I was really young, I've had my grandma, who was an amazing inspiration to me. She was a lover of science, first in the family to go to university, pursued a career as a teacher, and then when her husband died, she was a primary breadwinner for the family. So she was a huge influence in my life from when I was really young. She used to live with us and made me love science and believe that I could be anything that I wanted to. And then having, you know, a family that and a dad in science who were equally supportive of that was, yeah, invaluable. In terms of breaking the bias, one of the things that's been really important for me in being able to do what I do have done in my career is the support of my husband, in terms of really being equal, having equal parenting responsibilities for our kids, and the fact that he's been able to also be in a position that if the kids are sick, sometimes he leaves work and sometimes I leave work, so that that sort of burden doesn't fall solely on me, because I feel that if it had always been me who'd had to leave when the kids were unwell or needed something, that I would have really struggled to truly embrace my career. So I really have wanted to make that possible for people that work for me. And so really making sure that everyone understands that, it, you know, OnCareers is a family first company for people to be happy and stay. I think that's something that's important to everyone. And it was really great that one of my staff is married to someone else I know very well, and she, on one of his first days, so there were, we had a bunch of new starters who all came in at the in March 2020, and the only reason I was able to employ absolute superstars part-time is because they all had wives who worked as well, and they were all willing to go part-time because we were all having to care for kids at home, which was a massive bonus for me. And yeah, when his wife told me that he went in for one of the first days at work, there were three men in there that all gone and dropped their kids off school, gone to work, and then had to leave to go pick their kids up. And he said, this has never happened before. So I was just so excited to hear that, because it's not just when the kids are sick, it's when, you know, it's pick up and drop off and all of those things. And, yeah, until we make sure that every parent has equal rights to parenting, I don't think that women will have the true freedom to embrace their careers.
What an incredible answer.
Definitely. And so speaking on the gender equality side of things, so we read that diagnosis methodology can favour male biology. So a notable example was that on average women are diagnosed with heart disease 7 to 10 years later than men. Do you kind of see this in your work, or do you think that there needs to be improvements to the healthcare system to bring better outcomes for women?
I definitely think that there need to be improvements. Also, you know, making sure that testing for new drugs, for new, you know, devices, make sure we take into account the demographics they'll be used on in an in the appropriate way. I know there's a huge push also in the US now to make sure that race is also considered, because it's not, you know, a homogeneous population of you need a heterogeneous population that represents who you're going to treat. I think we're very mindful also of that in what we're doing, particularly because breast surgeons, there are a large proportion of women in there. So we've got to make sure that our device is designed so that it can be handled by anyone. It's, you know, that, and that we've got to really keep that kind of thing in mind as well. I mean, I work in breast cancer, so it is primarily a women's disease. It is, I think one of the things, awareness. I don't think women are aware that they are at risk of heart disease as much as men are. And I don't think that, you know, so I think that kind of things we really need to do better at, because that will help drive the diagnosis. Because women are generally better at seeking healthcare, but they don't necessarily know, you know, what they need to be concerned about. I think it's a shock to a woman to have a heart attack, whereas to a man it would be, well, you know, that I know this friend and that friend, and that's more of a that they know that that's an issue for men, but it's not as well known that it's an issue for women too.
Yeah, that is very true, because you do hit, you know, for myself, I hear, oh, so-and-so's dad, or, you know, like, that's what I mainly hear. So in that sense, what do you think needs to be done to raise awareness?
Well, I suppose it's hard, because you can't bombard everyone with information about everything at the same. So targeted, I guess, if they've identified areas where particularly that women don't have the knowledge that they need to, it's something that they need to be mindful of, then we need to sort of target areas to improve that. I mean, one of the things that we did, so back when I was at Stone Ridge, we developed a breast cancer app because I think one of the big things is about prevention of disease as opposed to cure. It's much better for the patient to prevent the disease. It's much cheaper for the system if you prevent people from having the disease. So it's better. It's a win for everyone. So at Stone Ridge, we developed an app just when the Apple Store was launched around breast cancer awareness that was partnered with the McGrath Foundation and Breast Cancer Care WA. And that was just to make sure we taught women how to examine their breasts, and also you could keep a record of it. So like you would know the next month, oh yes, that's how they felt last month. No, there's been no change. And keep monitoring things, because I think, like I said, prevention's better than cure.
Because obviously I've heard all this stuff, you know, like check your breasts for lumps, like do all that sort of stuff. What sort of signs of heart disease, if we're saying for like another sort of something that you can prevent, like I wouldn't even know what the signs to look for are. That is there specific?
Yeah, well, I guess it's so there are specific, obviously, of heart that in a heart attack or angina, there would be symptoms of that, like chest pain or pain down your arm or pain radiating up your neck. You know, pain, you shouldn't get chest pain on exertion. Yeah. There would be a bunch of things around that. But then I guess also it's also maybe targeting what people need to be worried about at which stage of their lives as well. And depending on, so I think for going back to breast cancer, it is noted that there are a lot more younger women getting diagnosed at the moment. So more, creating more awareness in the appropriate demographic where you're going to have the most impact. And then probably, I guess, choosing, it's talking to the people who run the public health campaigns and determining where they can get the greatest bang for their buck. Mm. With heart disease, one of the key things, healthy diet and exercise, and also knowing if you have risk factors, familial risk factors. So that's also something important to be aware of, and to then, I guess, talk with your GP about it as well.
Yeah, and so moving away from that, obviously you are very successful in your career. What sort of advice would you give to other women that are maybe looking to start a career in medicine or take that same sort of pathway?
I'd say absolutely go for it. It's I couldn't have asked for a more exciting career, something that changes. It's really intense, but it's also every day is different, and you jump from, and I guess being in this, I would also highly recommend the startup community. And being part of the startup community is so exciting. You get to, you get to make a real difference, or you get to try to do, to change the way that things are done for the better. I think that that's hugely rewarding. So I'd say just go for it and never feel limited by your gender. That's, I think even now more than ever, there's such a push that's starting to get more, to support female founders, to get more women funded, I think is fantastic. So there's so many opportunities to get more training at the moment, to get more support, to make the most of it.
Yeah. And can I ask, it's probably a bit out of the blue, but what's been one of the greatest moments of your career? Like, is there something in particular that stands out for you?
I think I would say, so in 2019, we entered and participated in the MedTech Innovator, which is the largest global medical device accelerator headed out of LA. And OnCareers won the award that was voted by a room of venture capitalists and industry people in San Francisco, that we were the company out of all these, so 800, almost 900 companies applied for the accelerator, 24 got in, and we were the company that the audience felt had the greatest potential to make an impact. And to have got that external validation for a Perth company, a company that's been 100% developed in WA, I think it just, that was hugely gratifying for me, because it shows that what I've been trying to, encourage before I started OnCareers in the rest of the community, that we can do this from WA, we can make a difference globally. To have that global recognition that, yes, that we're up there amongst all those other global players who, with all those the resources that they have, that was awesome.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
That's great, yeah.
And you still practice as a medical doctor.
as a surgeon, and you mentioned what it was, and I've lost my words.
So please, Jason,
surgical assistant. Tell us about that. Tell us what that like keeping your hands in the.
Yep, so I look forward to going back to that in the next few months when we've completed the fundraising we've done. The last time I was in there was at the end of 2019, and the conversation was about what would we do if there was a global pandemic. So, and everyone decided
so what would we do?
The best wine tonight. Well, I think what was amazing is that Christabel had just been to a conference and on pandemic planning and things, and that she came and she said, they say that they'll only be able to create 100,000 doses of a vaccine. If they can create a vaccine at all, they'll only be able to create 100,000 doses for Australia. And so we're going to have to be very specific about who gets vaccinated and who doesn't. And, you know, so that was what the world thought we could achieve at the end of 2019. And boy, they have proved that wrong, haven't they? So
it's amazing what we can do when we're pressed.
Yeah. Well, it is. And I think that's the thing. Like vaccines, we've always... lots of vaccine projects come to Brandon to get invested in, and we haven't been able to back. We do have one awesome vaccine company that's developing a needleless vaccine that my kids absolutely love. They keep asking every time they go for injection, is the Vaxxis patch ready yet?
I would love
that. Yeah.
Bring that to me.
Yeah, exactly. I again went off the question. Just being in theatre, I look forward to going back and being in theatre, and it really is just helping out the surgeon. So setting up the patient, making sure the sterile field's there, and then assisting the surgeon during literally making sure there's no blood in the field, keeping it open so they can see what they're doing, and then getting to sew it up.
Fabulous. So do you think that's obviously you've prioritised that, but do you think that that's something that more people should do is keep their hands in once you are in a role that doesn't necessarily require it?
I think that it has been, I've always prioritised keeping it, and it's the best decision I've made, because it not only because it means that I still am a practising doctor and my parents can ask me for referrals when they're standing at the desk. but also that for Oncares, it kept me relevant. It means that I had seen like two surgeons literally having verbal fisticuffs because they both scrubbed and with patients, but sending the nurses to argue because there's one x-ray machine that they could operate. The other three required someone from the radiology department to come up. They're like, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. And, you know, seeing that surgeons, understanding that surgeons want something in their hands. They don't want to wait for anyone else. They don't want their patient to sleep on the table while they twiddle their thumbs and wait for someone else to get in the room to help them out. It needs to be under their control. So I think things like that, and understanding how theatre works, and understanding as that has been incredibly useful for Oncares.
Yeah, and have you always been an assistant, or have you been the surgeon yourself?
The assistant.
So you've
always been the assistant. Yeah, because I started that really early on after I finished my internship.
Okay. Would you ever be a surgeon yourself?
No, that would require going back and loads more training.
And so with so much going on, obviously you're a busy woman, how do you find a good balance with your work commitments and your leisure? Like you were speaking about before, it's important to keep your bucket full. How do you find that balance?
It's always a struggle, and it's interesting. I sat on a great masterclass this week, actually, by another doctor who talking about building resilience and stopping burnout. And it was awesome to hear Olivia talk about her ways that she does that, because it was great validation, because that's the kind of way that I've just intuitively gone about things. I've always known that I have limits, and this is a marathon, not a sprint, so I've got to make sure I keep looking after myself so that I can keep doing my best at work. So for me, it's about getting exercise, and I'm pretty religious about making sure that comes above other things. And then also I spend, figuring out what your priorities are in life. One of the big things for me is spending time with my parents. So on Mondays I'll go and I spend 4 or 5 hours with my mum sewing, and that for me, that just sets up my week. It gives it's a bit of time that I'm just only think about myself, not think about anyone else, and that I find really important for keeping me going through the week.
Yeah, that's great. And I think it applies over all fields, you know, you get burnout anywhere. Yep. But, you know, particularly obviously in the medical field, it's very important, I would say, to have that balance. But, I mean, it's, you do an amazing job, it seems. So that's off to you. Yeah. And what do you have plans for the future? What are your plans from here?
Well, I hope to continue growing on careers in WA. We actually today had a great announcement that we've got a $3 million grant that's been funded by Oz Industry. So that
how fantastic!
Yeah, it is so awesome, so awesome. And we have been lucky enough to have a similar grant in the past, and it was transformational for us. It enabled us to get this FDA breakthrough designation. So we are thrilled to have got that today, and then hopefully soon to announce our funding that we've been working on.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds like a great future ahead for Oncares Medical and for yourself. And you'll stay in the surgical.
I hope to go back to that once the funding's done. Yes, planning to be back there.
Yeah. How fabulous. And so, how can people get in touch with you or follow you on your journey, or if they want to see more about what Oncares does, where can they find that?
Probably best is the website, and I am on LinkedIn, but I'm very bad at posting stuff.
Fair enough.
Yes. Okay. So LinkedIn is what you use at the moment?
The moment, just LinkedIn.
Great. So thank you so much for having a chat with us today. It's been amazing to hear everything you're doing, and we're super excited to see what Oncares does in the future. And thank you for coming in.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been awesome to chat to you.